Oh, that was fun. That was fun. Well, today we're going to talk about love reaches people. Love reaches people. And I want to go through the story with you, if you have your Bible or a device there, to read the word with me. We're going to start with the John chapter 4, the woman at the well with Jesus. And it goes for a little bit, and I just want to enjoy the story with you right now. Now, when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself did not baptize, but only his disciples, he left Judea and departed again for Galilee. And he had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, wearied as he was from the journey, was sitting beside the well, and it was about the sixth hour. That's noon. A woman from Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria?" For Jews had no dealings with Samaritans. For Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." Everybody say living water. The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." And Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water that I give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." And the woman answered, "I have no husband." And Jesus said, "You are right in saying that you have no husband, for you have five husbands. And the one you now have is not your husband. And what you have said is true." And the woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshiped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know, and we worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." And the woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." And Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." Just then his disciples came back. They marveled that he was talking with a woman, but no one said, "You know, what do you seek, or why are you talking with her?" So the woman left her water jar and went away to the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ?" And they went out of the town and were coming to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Has anybody brought him something to eat?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say there are 4 months, then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes. See, the fields are white for harvest. Already the one who weeps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so the sower and the reaper may rejoice together. For Here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap for that which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. Many Samaritans from the town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. And they said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this indeed is the Savior of the world." Incredible story. I want to put up a point, and this is the point. Love reaches to people who are not like you outwardly. Love reaches to people who are not like you outwardly. The Samaritan woman said, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." I don't know how you grew up, and maybe some people that you're not supposed to be hanging around, but Jesus sends you to people who are not like you outwardly. Now, this is the best example I got, but I'll go ahead and tell you this story. It's just the one I have. It wasn't an evangelistic meeting. It was going to help some pastors down in Nicaragua. But the Lord sent me to people who were not like me outwardly. And he told me, I had an interesting experience at that time with a friend, and I felt the Lord say to me, "I want you to take your songwriting gift and cross the culture. I came from heaven to earth. I want you to take your songwriting gift, and from the United States, I want you to take your gift and go down to Nicaragua." So I had a person meet with me that spoke Spanish, and I would ask a question, "How do you say this?" And the person would tell me, and I would create a melody. It was really a gift of God, because in 2 hours I had 5 songs. And so I went down, and it was the funniest thing, because I had thought I could at least say a greeting. So I'm there, it's about 80 pastors, and they have a worship team, and I got a worship team, and I can't even talk to them. And that's something, I have bass, drums, and a keyboard guy, and I have chords. They were like staring at me, and I had words with Spanish words with chords over them, put them in front of them. A big relief came over them. You know, what are we going to do with this guy? You know, so standing there. And I tried to greet the group, and everybody looked at me like this. Huh? And the leadership went, "What's going on? Oh no, this is horrible. And it was that sense of awkwardness, you know, that sense of ooh, until we started playing. I struck the chord and began singing out these songs in Spanish. And instantly, the Spirit of the Lord was in the room, and the gringo, who can't speak a lick of Spanish, was singing Spanish songs, and we were all entering in to the presence of God together. Que caigo fuego del cielo. Que caigo fuego del cielo. Que caigo fuego del cielo. Espíritu Santo ven. You know what that means? Let fire fall from heaven. Let fire fall from heaven. Let fire fall from heaven. Holy Spirit, come. And we begin to encounter and meet people who are not like me. Spoke a different language. There's many ways that people are different from you. Economically, people are different from you. Live in different parts of the... Racially, people are different from you. Is that right? Religion-wise, people are different from you. Ideologies, people are different. I wanted to go ahead and say a pattern that is very helpful, because the truth of the Word of God is not going to change. Jesus forgives sinners. You can say you're not one, but that's why He came. He came to forgive sin. And the Holy Spirit draws people to come to their senses and to be convicted of the wrongdoing of their life. But our role is to have an environment. An environment, or should say an atmosphere, of the kingdom of God based on the values of who Jesus is, the beliefs that He instills in us, and the behaviors that He calls us to live out. And those are all heart issue things. So, I want to give you a little tidbit, a little wisdom nugget here. if somebody starts to ask you questions about, do you believe in, and they throw some kind of a sexual orientation thing at you? Do you believe in homosexuality or whatever? I just want to say, empathy first. Keep your keys of wisdom in your pocket for now. Because people need to know that Jesus loves. And Jesus comes to people who are not like we are outwardly. But everybody is the same on the inside. Sin has wrecked the whole culture. And there's different ways people have, you know, you might say, you might say, it's so funny how self-righteousness works. It's amazing how it works. I haven't done that bad compared to somebody else. Well, tell me, which part of your sins did Jesus not have to forgive? I'm not as bad as him, and somehow that puts you in another category? I don't think so. Jesus said, I came for the sick, not for the well. And it's an interesting thing. When you come to the revelation that you are a sinner that needs a lot of help, and you can surrender to the one who's going to help you, and then he does it. Getting there is really key in people's hearts, isn't it? Remember last Sunday we talked about Peter. I want to put the scripture up, Acts 10:34. So Peter opened his mouth. This is after he goes to Cornelius' house, and it says, Peter says, truly I understand that God shows no partiality. Everybody say that. God shows no partiality. But in every nation, everyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. See there? And doing what is right is just saying, I see what Jesus has done for me and receiving it. Because you can't be self-righteous enough to get anywhere. But he says, I learned that God shows no partiality. Here he's told him to go and kill and eat, you know, these sheets of unclean animals, and says, I want you to go down to this Roman centurion. Well, we've never been in a Roman centurion's house. This is amazing to me because Peter was actually there when they walked up to Jesus in Samaria. It's amazing how we forget. And Peter was there with the disciples when they walked to Samaria and stepped across that boundary. And those whole, all that people group came. Do you know what the Samaritans were? They were like a half-breed is what they were. They were half this and half that. And they were looked at weird because they're those half-breed people. So there's the people that, you don't mess with those people. You don't talk to people. They're not really true blue what we are. How many of you got issues? Okay, let's go ahead to number two. Number two, love reaches people with the answer to their deepest need inwardly. If you're filling in the blanks, with the answer to their deepest need inwardly. Love reaches the people with the answer to their deepest need inwardly. It doesn't matter what culture you're in. If you're a parent, you have child issues. It doesn't matter if you're Asian, if you're South American, if you live in Alaska, you got to provide. You got to raise them, right? People are people. There's always going to be issues. If you're in a culture and you want to get married, there's a process to go about, and that people are people. The hard issues you got to manage in life. So we're all the same on the inside. And this is what Jesus does. He broaches the subject with this lady all about getting a drink of water. Hey, can I have some water? You're not supposed to be talking to me. And Jesus, in his wisdom, and I want just to see this for a second, guys. When you're talking to people, just talking to people and you want to bring, use what's there. And Jesus is there, and he's talking about water. And the next thing you know, he says these words. Put up that slide, if you wouldn't mind. Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water I give him will never be thirsty again. Watch this. The water that I will give him, everybody say, will become. Say it again, will become. In him, a spring of water welling up to eternal life. I had a discussion with a person who'd been a drug addict for many, many, many years. And we were in the car driving along, and I put on a CD that we use sometimes for intercession times here. And I began to pray in the Spirit. And I was driving along and invited this person to pray in the Spirit with me. So we prayed in the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit came, and the rivers kicked up, and the fullness of the Lord filled the car. And I said, the reason I don't go use drugs is because I have this. You can make it fun and say, they ain't no high like the Most High. But I'm standing there praying in the Spirit, and the living water wells up, and it becomes. Everybody say, it becomes. The Holy Spirit begins to well up in us and becomes what we have need of. Now, you can say, well, that's all fine for you. Well, I'm just going to say what Jesus said. It's all fine for you. Will you be refreshed down in your spirit and stir up your spirit and begin to drink of what truly satisfies? Because Jesus did not, he's talking about living water, and he says, it's going to become something. He says, it's going to become like in the person who receives it, a spring of eternal life. Now, John uses this exact same language later when he shows up at the feast, and he says this, John 7:37-39. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. For whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So now we're talking about the Holy Spirit being poured out. Acts 1:8, for you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Let me just go ahead and say, you're filling your heart up with something. You are filling your, you got your days filled, something's filling you up. And you know what? You can't fill up the fed up. Because if you're already all full up, what room have you made for Jesus? So what are you filling your, here's the next slide. What are you filling your life with? Then, what are you filling your life with? What are you hoping will fill the void of your soul? Jesus has given the Holy Spirit, which brings us into intimacy with God. I want to invite you and challenge you to get in a pattern of be ye being filled. I want to tell you why. There's just two little simple things, and this is little techniques that you can use. One of them is open your Bible. Remember that? You know why many people don't? Because the culture has gone so far away from it. But if you open the Bible, it'll be the anchor of your life and the anchor of your soul. Here's all you have to do. Open the Word and begin to read it softly, out loud, prayerfully. Read it softly, out loud, prayerfully. Listening for the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Take a psalm and begin to worship the Lord and say the psalm out loud. And watch what the Holy Spirit does to begin to usher you into the presence of God via the Spirit that's in the Word of God. And in a few moments, now that's one way to do it because you're always anchored to the truth. The other way, of course, is just to pray in the Spirit, to worship. I put on a CD of worship songs. I have a little set of them I use. And I just stir my heart and draw my heart into His presence. When you came in here this morning, we picked songs, right? How many of you entered into the presence of God? The whole idea behind doing that here is so that you will do that in your life. So that you'll know lifting your hands is like plugging in to the current of heaven. Causing things to flow into you. Lifting your head, praying, praising Him. Opening up your heart. And saying those things down inside of that you have a bond with Him. And as you have that bond with Him, it doesn't matter what you're going through. It really doesn't. I have some annoyances going on in my body right now. I'm stepping aside and praising the Lord, praising my way through it. We all have seasons where we have to step it up in our spirit and not get apathetic, not get indifferent. In fact, I want this to be a refreshing season this summer. I want us to be more in love with Jesus at the end of the summer than we were. And I don't want to take detours like run off and have to go get chastened by the Lord and come back. Anybody want to not do that? You have a better life at the end of the summer? The Lord is saying this right now. He says, I want you to purpose in your spirit that you and I are going to get close. There's going to be a resurgence of the gifts of the Spirit. Let's go ahead and praise the Lord for a minute. Praise the Lord. The Lord's saying, don't let the devil try to get you in some political argument. Or in fact, that old thing's going to clear out too, because God's hand is on our government. Hallelujah. He's working. Do not be discouraged. I didn't know I was going to prophesy, but here you go. Do not be discouraged, my children. Rise up, praise me, and watch. I'm releasing in this season gifts from heaven. I'm seeking those with a hungry heart to drop them into their lives. I will accelerate what I've purposed your life for. Let's praise him, guys. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Let's just bless the Lord for a minute. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. You know everything about us. You know the reason you put us together. You know the passions of each individual heart. You know why we're here. You know the people around us who need help. You know, Lord, the people that you're sending us to. You know everything about it. And we just want to offer ourselves right now on the altar. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and just say, here I am, Jesus. Send me. Here I am. Send me. Here I am. Send me. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. When I get in this mode, somebody is thinking, I've tried that before and I've gotten beaten down. Actually, it's not the thought. The thought is, I don't think I have that much to offer, and that's a lie of the devil. The Bible, the Lord has plenty to offer through you. In fact, most of the time when I don't feel like I have it, he steps up and gives it to me. I'm just go ahead and say, the Lord is gracious. He's looking for you. Will you be empty in front of me so I can fill you for somebody? Will you be available for me so I can fill you to touch somebody? Will you be a blessing to somebody because you've made yourself available to me? I love Psalm 16, verse 11. It says this, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Let's read that aloud and declare it. Ready? Go. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Now let's praise the Lord together. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. The Lord is calling us into intimacy with him. He's calling us into an adventure, the adventure. This summer is a season of spiritual adventure. Praise the Lord. Now let's go ahead and look at number 3. Love reaches people where they are. Love reaches people where they are. The disciples had shown up and Jesus said these words. I think I have them up there. Jesus says, do not say there are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest. Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. I have a question for you. Anybody with any kind of farming background at all? When it's time to go get the harvest, where do you go? Oh, you don't go to the barn? When it's time to get the harvest, where is the harvest? It's out in the field? It's out in the field. It's not in the barn. It's out there. I want to tell you the most exciting moments of your house will be when you're out there reaping the harvest. Out there. And your life is touching people. Man, I just feel like we're supposed to praise the Lord some more. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. We were given an illustration at our Foursquare connection, the international connection, and they were receiving an offering to put a church, or not a church, but to fund a man and a woman. It was really interesting because during this time of the convention, they said, we're not going to run this feed live. We're asking you don't take any pictures. We're asking that you don't videotape. Everybody turn everything off. And they brought out a man and a woman. They didn't want anything on the internet to identify who they were. And they said this, basically, Glenn Burris, our president, said, for instance, let me just tell you, he says, we went to the Foursquare Church was planted, I think he said, 60 years ago. That's not long. But 60 years ago in Nigeria. And he says, now there's multiple churches in Nigeria, and they're sending missionaries to other countries. 60 years ago, massive. By the way, I want you to know the denomination we're in, the Foursquare, it's a movement. It's much larger in the world outside the United States. It's all over the place. It's phenomenal. And it's because certain qualities and characteristics raising up indigenous peoples to people from the place that they're from to minister to the people and to empower them. A lot of different things go on. But anyway, they said this. It says they were looking around the world and they said, now right here in North Africa, there is no witness of the gospel. So what we want to do is we want to bring Christians in, and this is the strategy, bring Christians in to love the people in the area. Because the people in that part of the world believe the worst thing about Christians. They think they're evil. So he says, what we're going to do is we're going to start bringing Christians in and do good deeds. Now here's what's going to happen. Because we've seen it happen in nation after nation after nation. People go to somebody who's not like them outwardly. They start meeting their deep needs inwardly. And changes begin to happen in the culture. And we're cracking into North Africa. It says, don't show the faces of these people, but this is the agenda. The agenda is we're going to be flying people in, and they're going to do good deeds. Of course, you know what Jesus is going to do. Jesus is going to show up in North Africa. And he's going to pour his love out on people who are worshiping a false god. And he's going to show them who he is and how much he loves them. Whew. Let's put up the last question. Who's God putting on your heart to reach? Who is God putting on your heart to reach? Who is God putting on your heart to reach? Let's stand together. Would you just kind of lift your hands before the Lord? Just kind of lift them up, kind of half mask kind of a thing. Just lift them before the Lord. Lord, you witnessed to my spirit just a minute ago. You're going to begin dropping unction, anointing, refreshing, revelation, gifts, capacity. So Holy Spirit, we come with a hungry heart right now. And we say, here am I, Lord, send me. Here am I. Here am I, Lord, send me. The Lord loves people around you that have need. And he wants you to be sensitive to him to touch their lives. Would you become that person? Right now, just say, I'll be available for you, Jesus, to send me the way you went into Samaria and to speak your life into people. Let's praise him. Just go, come. Hallelujah, Lord. Now, as we did last week, I want you to pray in the Spirit. Let's go ahead and just begin praying in the Spirit here. Hallelujah. And those who have those who are going to be ministering down front, come on down. And I want, if you have not received your prayer language and not been prayed for, I want to make sure that you receive that. And so I want you to be to come on down. If that hasn't happened, we had some folks receive their prayer language last Sunday morning. Because it's just a core, it's a conviction that when he says, I want to pour living water in your life, the way that he does that is via the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So we want that to happen for you. If you don't have your language and prayer language, So we have those down here. I want to pray for you myself. Let's go ahead and just lift your heads again. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. All right, honey.
Pastor talked about refreshing. I need refreshing, don't you? To go into the workplace where you are, to go into the highways and the byways, and to be that witness that the Holy Spirit has called us to be, you might need a touch and a refreshing and a restirring of that spiritual gift that's within you called the spiritual language, because that's why one of the reasons why he gave you your spiritual language is to be a witness. So I know for me, just over seasons of time, I've gotten weary of doing well, and I don't use my spiritual language like I used to. And if you ever want to be a witness in that field out there where you serve, your workplace, your wherever you serve, wherever your job is, you're going to need an activation regularly of the Holy Spirit. And you can do that at home yourself. And if that doesn't work, you might need a jump start. So come on down and let's pray together and get that jump start that we need so that we can be that witness. Don't you want to be a witness? Because you know, loved one, the field isn't coming into this building. You've got to go out there and reap. He said it's ready, but the harvesters are few. Okay, so the way you'll be keen to the Holy Spirit and hearing him is if you are stirred up in your spirit. You'll walk into your cubicle, you'll walk into your office place, and the Holy Spirit will say, go talk to this one, go say this to this one. But you've got to initiate that by getting that stirred up inside you. So let's do it, right? You're dismissed now. Those of you who want to get stirred up, come on down. Those of you who want coffee, go get coffee. But go, come get stirred up first and then go get coffee. Come on. We all need this. Amen?